and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the entire interwebs. And this is being streamed to you via the language English, translated in all languages, on your own, not by us. You have your two beautiful hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey. It's a beautiful day for a podcast, and I am confused by what this man just said, but that is okay.
Well, I've just recently discovered that that iTunes, that Apple Podcasts automatically transcribes.
Yeah, I need you to explain to me how that works, because I don't know. I couldn't find it on my phone.
All I did was go to the iTunes app, okay. The podcasts app, mm-hmm. Go to the episode,
okay,
and I scroll down and it has a transcription there. But I'm curious if in other countries it's automatically showing in their language.
Or on the
No. It's like you could just read it. Like, here, hold on. Let me just do this real quick. I'm just going to go to an episode.
I don't see it on mine.
Give me an episode.
Well, the most recent one, Hook, Line, and Sinner.
All right, Hook, Line, and Sinner. Let me go there real quick. All right, Hook, Line, and Sinner, part 2. I scroll down, transcript. Let me scroll like midway through.
So you just scroll down on this page.
Scroll down. You don't see that. That's interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah, because look, I go to the episode page. Look, I go to the episode page. You see?
I do.
And I scroll down, and then it's right here, transcript, right before it actually gives like the, yeah. So if I go to the middle part, it goes, and if it's just you and your dad out there, like, how are you guys finding time to just jack? Oh,
I could not have picked a more perfect moment for you to have scrolled onto that so perfectly encapsulates the way your fucking brain works.
Wait, I did not mean to do
this anatomy podcast. You're like, but how does the man jack off in his boat?
And if it's just you and your dad out there, like, how are you guys finding time to just jack off? I'm sure there's other guys on the boat. We're also jacking off, but I'm also, well, yes, probably. I mean, like, what do you think happens on, like, any boat? Like, think of the Navy. They're all there. They're all probably jacking off, thinking of you.
I stand by that.
We just talked about Deadliest Catch, bunch of guys on a boat. I'm sure there are bathrooms. I'm just thinking there's places to sleep. They kind of jack off. I just feel like, how are they getting internet reception out there? No, it's not perfect, but it is funny. But I like the night. I forgot that I said this, but you said maybe they've got magazines. Those do exist. And I go, oh, going analog.
Yeah.
Gosh, fuck. That's so funny. All right. Grey's Anatomy.
Any shout outs.
No. I don't think so. Fuck. Do I? Let me go to Instagram real quick. We have a new Patreon?
No. Did I? Yeah, because I would have said that, because we recorded on
like Monday, right? Yesterday, basically.
Yeah, yeah, I would have. Yeah, okay.
I just want to shout out Callista for backing me up on the Hook, Line, and Sinner Texas in July. Neither of us are big metal fans.
Alicia was very into it.
What? What's that?
Alicia was very into it.
Alicia was into the song?
Yeah. She said, if anyone here is a metal fan, the Texas in July song actually slaps. Fire emoji.
I don't think I saw that. So, Alicia, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry I missed that. Please forgive me.
It was earlier.
And then I think that's it. I think that's all I got.
I believe Callista told me that. Someone told me that a cold container from the refrigerator would absolutely break under hot water.
Say that again.
I love it when people have my back.
What was the thing? What happened?
Like a cold glass from the refrigerator would absolutely break if it was like not a Pyrex, because Pyrex is good, but yes, it was. No, it wasn't Callista.
You and I are saying the exact same thing. No. We're agreeing. I have Crystal. A dad joke Crystal. From Renee. Why is dark spelled with a K? Because you can't see in the dark.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Goodness gracious. All right. Love it. I am more tired than usual. I have had a long ass day. I didn't get a single nap. I've been so fucking busy. And I've got a bowl of strawberries over here.
Look at that little healthy nighttime snack.
Yeah, they were going to go bad if I didn't eat all of them tonight.
Yeah, I feel like mine are probably going to go bad soon.
Also, everyone, I just want you to know, this is not a paid sponsorship, but this episode is brought to you by the Costco Chicken Pot Pie. If you have not had the Costco Chicken Pot Pie.
Is it Costco brand?
It's that they make it in-house. They make it. It's like one of those pre-made dinners.
Oh, okay. Because I've got the Marie calendars, like big boxes of frozen.
Those are great.
Costco. And those are also good.
Yeah. No, the fresh one where they make it in-house and they just throw it in the oven for an hour and a half and boom, you got a full-on chicken pot pie gourmet fucking everything is great. I love it. So go out and buy a chicken pot pie from Costco if you haven't. And all right, I'm ready. You got any shout outs? You got any things to say?
I said most of them I had. I don't know. I feel like, we had a lot of people say they really appreciated the conversations we had surrounding like the choice to not have children. Normalizing that choice is fine. And it is. And then also normalizing like the conversation around it and just like accepting it and not like pestering people when you hear it. Someone specifically, I don't remember who, because I truly got so many messages from like a lot of people about this. And I like appreciated the conversations that we had. But someone specifically said that it meant a lot to them hearing from us people who chose to have children actively like saying like that is an okay choice to make and it's not our place to like decide what is or isn't okay for someone. And I also talked to Megan, one of our many Megans, who lives in this area like Middle Tennessee, and we were kind of talking about specifically this region being in the Bible Belt, how there's just a lot of pressure on people to that essentially like if you don't have children, what like that's God's entire purpose for putting you on the earth. And it's just
right.
Factually feels incorrect. So that we were just kind of talking about our experience surrounding that. I was happy that conversation meant a lot to a lot of people. So thank you all it was probably one of the highest like singular topics we've touched on that wasn't Grays that I've gotten so much feedback on. And it was all positive. So I was happy that meant a lot to people.
Yeah, and if you're out there listening, we do try to talk about a lot of stuff, not just on the podcast, but on our Patreon as well. So if you're listening for the first time, and there's things that you want us to talk about, join our Patreon first off. It's great. But in the Discord that we have, there is a safe community to talk about these things, and it's a judgment-free zone.
Topic in the Discord as well.
Yeah. And then to all of our current Patreon members, if there's things that you want us to dig deeper on, or you feel like you have a story that you want to share, you know, we also want to create that content for you guys to be able to be a part of this. So, you know, if you've got a story you want to share, maybe something that's where Kelsey and I can get together with you one-on-one. And, you know, if you're comfortable posting it on our Patreon for others to hear or learn from your story, yes, maybe something we can talk through and see if it's got a platform we can leverage. But the community that we have in our Discord really is very respectful of people's opinions, privacy, but also just like so uplifting. Like who's crocheting right now?
Oh my gosh. Like
Renee Alicia was like,
and Alicia for sure. But other people were also talking about, I think Katya either crochets or knits. We have some artsy creative people.
Yeah. And I think Katya's been drawing a tattoo idea for Renee. And, you know, and Brianna's obviously sharing a lot with, she's got a Disney trip coming up, so we're very excited. We just got a lot of really fucking fun people. And also, I do want to have a quick shout out. Janisha, I know you just recently went through a move. I hope that you're finally all settled in.
Yeah.
And I hope that you're one of a kind, or one of two, the same as Kelsey. Well, she's got the red one.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah. I hope that your special edition Grey's Academy tumbler is also treating you well during that and keeping you hydrated through your move.
All right. I don't think I have any other shout outs. I just wanted to acknowledge that conversation seemed to resonate with a lot of people. So happy to facilitate those conversations.
I think we're going to probably have some more points that we're going to touch on about that in this episode too, with the way that this episode went. Mm.
Emotional damage. Carmen did text me. Was it at the end of the episode, or were you like middle of the episode when you texted me?
I'll tell you exactly when I sent that text. The text that I sent to Kelsey was just, this episode has me fucked up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like sad. It's just like, there is a lot of things happening in this episode.
It's a lot. And there's just a lot of it's very heavy.
Yeah, literally. And it was when the wife announced that she was pregnant. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So like, that was when I was like, this episode has me all fucked up. I can't even keep track of all the storylines.
That's before even like the intense stuff even happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this episode, yeah, it's going to be wild, but it's going to be a fun episode, and we're going to work through the tired, sleepy yawns and talk about some shit. And we will be, I think also it's important to call out when we do talk about, is it, Bobby Corso, Bobby, when we do talk about this, obviously there is a part of this show that is comedic, in nature, but also we want to recognize that eating disorders are not, a joke. So while we may make jokes about the storylines and about the conversations and about the situations we find ourselves in, the actual disorder itself is not a joke. Just like with Weber and Thatcher being alcoholics, they are not jokes, but there are funny things about things that those characters do. So just want to make sure that we are differentiating between those two. A lot of empathy, but also this, I know, the obesity epidemic in this country for a lot of people is really close to home. So,
well, and it's interesting. I mean, and we'll get into it as we get into it, but the line that he himself walks of like,
yeah,
joking about it to cope with it. But we'll get into that. Well, we'll start off with our factoids. This is episode 123. It is the 21st episode of the sixth season. Next week, we are recording the 22nd episode remotely. And then the day that comes out is the day that Carmen and Fam fly here. And we will be watching and recording the 2-part season finale together. But we are very
which is
excited.
Gonna be dope. It's that may have fun. To be a 3-part episode.
Yeah, I was kind of Mike. I was talking with Michael because I was trying to figure out schedule wise, because of the way our home is set up, I don't want the children and our spouses to just be like locked in one room while we just take up the entire house with our loud bullshit. So right. I was like, I feel like we're probably gonna maybe need to do it like Friday morning, and the five of them will go have some kind of fun activity that we will not be a part of.
No. The FOMO will be real.
It's all right. So yeah, we're just trying to, but we're excited.
Also, for the record, there's only 2 specific foods that I need to make sure I have when I'm there. I need fried chicken and I need all you can eat sushi.
I thought you also said hibachi. We had so 3 meals. Hibachi.
That's just 3. Yeah. You're right. Because Marlo's never done hibachi.
We had talked about as well.
Well, barbecue, but that's just a standing. That's lunch. That's just lunch.
Yeah, that is lunch. Well, I think I was going to actually have Michael make pulled pork.
Ooh!
We have a very large piece of pork.
But
in our freezer that
pork.
We should
pork
probably
rumpus.
Pull out now to make sure it's thawed in time.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. This episode is called How Insensitive. And that's a song.
How Insensitive is a song by Diana Krall. The song itself did not have any charting information on it, but the album kind of surprised. The album From This Moment On is the ninth album by a Canadian artist, Diana Krall, and the album was released on September 19th, 2006, and it was her third consecutive number one album. This is not my again, this is not like a particular genre that I'm a big fan of, but this is a jazz album. So she's a jazz singer and she performs with an arrangement, an ensemble. So this had debuted in Canada. Let's see, where is that one at? At number one. So it debuted in Canada at number one on the Canadian Albums Billboard. It hit as high as number one in the Australian Jazz and Blues album, number one in Sweden, number one in the UK, and number one on the US Jazz Albums Billboard, as well as getting as high as number seven on the US Billboard 200. This was 2006.
Okay.
So I have a hard time, because I don't hear a lot about jazz nowadays, mm-hmm. still even. So it was nice to listen to it.
It's an underappreciated genre and art.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Jazz and classical music are two genres that I don't yearn to listen to, but those are ones that I could sit there and I can appreciate the artistry of those musicians. There's actually a couple of jazz clubs in Chicago that I've gone and seen some live musicians play. And one of my old band members from Gallery 81 is a jazz bassist. So he does a lot of shows, which is
what
I like to
go see. What's so interesting about jazz is like that the genre in general, they do, like, you can go to a live club like that and they'll do jazz improv and make it up as they go, and that's so impressive to me. And you don't really have that with a lot of other types of music. So that's fun for me.
I actually played a jazz saxophone in high school, so
what a nerd. Just kidding.
Okay, that's the end of this podcast as we know it, folks. It's been a good run.
Did Derek say he played the saxophone?
Bailey
played the oboe, I think. Yes. Derek played the jazz.
Yeah, they had a band nerd geek conversation at one point. So, anyways, that's what I got. The song did not make it to Carmen's iTunes library. However, the song itself is a 3 out of 5. It is it is a resident. Mm-hmm. It is a resident out of 5, and it's a good song. She's got a good voice. The ensemble is pretty darn good. Just not for me, to be on.
Off topic, but on the topic of music, have you listened to the new Beyoncé album?
I have not.
Okay.
Should I?
Well, I think yes, because I love Beyoncé. And
I don't think I've listened
music.
To a lot of Beyoncé's albums.
It's a country album, but by the same token, I feel as though Beyoncé is her own genre in a way.
Yeah.
Because she's just so iconic. And so I love this album. There's a song with Dolly Parton. There's a song with Miley Cyrus. The song with Miley Cyrus is, oh my God, it's my favorite song on the album, hands down. She redid Jolene, she kind of rewrote it in ways. Hard to explain. But it's very, very
I gotta
good.
Listen to it.
It's so good. And there's a whole bunch of duets that are amazing. But it is of the country world, so I wasn't sure. I was kind of interested to see if you had listened to it, what your take on it would be.
I have not listened to it. I've seen a lot of people who are mad about it, but most of those people who are mad about it are the racists. So not really taking their opinion too seriously.
Mad about everything, so.
Yeah. Also, if any listeners streaming in Arizona right now, just know we're thinking of you.
We love you.
Yeah. A lot of crazy stuff going on there with women's reproductive rights in Arizona right
although
now.
Although the attorney general did come out and say, I will absolutely not enforce this, though.
So. Yes, that's but good. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay, so this episode was written by William Harper, directed by Tom Baraka, the one, the only Sam Keating.
Ah, yes, Dead Man Walking.
Uh-huh. This aired May 6th of 2010 to 11.03 million views. Now, before I read my synopsis, this, you can find Grey's Anatomy on Disney Plus if you have a Disney Plus and Hulu bundle.
Ah.
I have Disney Plus under one account, and I have Hulu under a different account because I'm on different people's paid accounts for those things. So they're not connected. So that is why I cannot see it on Disney Plus, but confirmed that the Disney Plus synopsis is the same as the Hulu synopsis, which makes sense.
Got it. Okay. Someone was also talking about there's a Google synopsis,
yes,
too.
Yes, Callista said she likes that one the best, but I have not yet confirmed if that's written, like, by Google or just by, like, a rando user. And so I want to confirm that before I just start reading them as the synopsis genre.
And that's
section.
Fair. Yeah.
So I'm going to have to look into that first. But I have, she did say they're very helpful. Okay, so we'll start with the Netflix synopsis, which is Bailey preps the team with mandatory sensitivity training prior to admitting an obese patient with compounded medical issues. Touches on one storyline, none other ones. Okay. And Hulu. Bailey preps the team with mandatory sensitivity training prior to admitting a 700-pound patient, and the case proves to be challenging in every sense of the word. Very close. Very, very close.
It's like those memes where it's you need to write a paper in 1,000 words and you're starting to like fill. That's what it felt like Hulu was doing.
For Cusco. Cusco's poison. The poison chosen specifically for Cusco.
Yes.
So yeah, again, lots of other things going on in this episode that neither of those touch on. So
I had another random thought I forgot to ask you about. Do you watch I Think You Should Leave?
No.
It's a sketch comedy show. Mm-hmm. I've been watching clips of it. I haven't watched the actual show, but it is so fucking funny. If anyone out there is watching, I Think You Should Leave, please message me because I need clips and I need to watch all of it. It is some of the best comedic humor I have seen on TV in a long time. Top tier. Really.
Is it on TV or is it on a streaming service?
No, it's on TV, but it's on a streaming service. I just don't remember. I think it's on Netflix. Okay. I just need to watch it. But yeah, I'll let you know. And now that I have a Netflix account,
which you don't
pay
need
for this.
Now that it's on Disney Plus.
Well, I told that to Jessica, and she's like, I almost exclusively watch Netflix for these movies.
She does watch a lot of Netflix thing. Like, she watched that terrifying movie when we were there, and she was watching that like very upsetting documentary.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think she's upstairs right now watching something about a kid who got murdered. I don't know.
Yeah, she really is into those really upsetting things.
Yeah. And then she wonders why she's upset all the time.
Netflix does have a lot of options for those.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we kick off with Bobby Corso?
Let's talk about Bobby Corso.
Bobby and Melissa.
I gotta hand it to the writers. Mm-hmm. Best name they've ever had on the show. Bobby Corso. Just got a mm-hmm. good ring to it.
Yeah, it is very, I agree. So the gentleman who played this part was wearing a latex suit.
Got really. It.
So that is how they did that. He's like a bigger dude, but not like, I wouldn't say he's fat. I would just say he's like a stocky, like built guy, because I was when I was looking him up everything. But yes, he is not in fact 658 pounds or 78 pounds, whatever they ended up saying it was. So they're in sensitivity training this at the beginning of the episode. And they're like, why are we doing this? And Bailey says, we had some time. And also, we have a patient coming in that this might be relevant for. So we're going to do it now. And everyone can shut up about it.
Well, when they first were doing that, I thought it was because... So we kind of had this moment where Derek was walking past Gary Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe it was something around just retraining people in the hospital about those things.
Yeah.
And then once Bailey started explaining, like, we have an emergent person who is, you know, going to require more help and stuff like that. Then I was like, oh, okay, interesting. It's interesting that they're doing this for the large patient and not the one dude with the face.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
The kid?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You're talking about the flower guy, right? The guy who, like, had a lot of his face burned off, or the kid that had, like,
no.
the bone growths?
The kid with the bone growth. I actually forgot about the flower guy.
Okay.
That was a wild episode. Man, this show is good.
So did you have any ideas or expectations when they said, when they were alluding to this patient, like, what the medical issue would have been?
No,
I had nothing. Surprised that he was almost 700 pounds?
I was surprised when they brought him out. Here's the thing, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but when Charles gets kicked off the case for recommending using the zoo scanner or MRI machine, in Scrubs, there's an episode where there's a large guy who comes in, and they actually have to take him to the zoo to use the rhino MRI machine.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Scrubs is a comedy, but they handle that particular scene. The whole message is, like, sometimes as a doctor, you need to be the one to be honest with your patient and say, get your shit together.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of tiptoeing around his feelings and, like, what Weber says, we're going to save him the dignity.
Yeah.
In Scrubs, they were like, we need this person to get the scan, regardless of how it makes them feel. Yeah. So it's just very interesting. But yeah, I've seen a storyline similar to this before. And I think there was also in House, there was a large patient who was very big into food, but it turned out that his medical situation was not related to food. He had, like, a fungal disease.
Mm.
Do you remember that guy? It was like he had the clubbed fingers and he was like,
I feel like I do remember the finger them. Ultimately it was because I think that, and then a story that you hear a lot also from people who struggle with weight gain and just like weight fluctuation who are on the heavier side. A lot of times if they go to a doctor to get a diagnosis, unfortunately, some doctors can't see past the weight and they'll say, like, well, my symptoms are X, Y, and Z. And the doctor's response is always like, well, have you thought of losing some weight? Like, no, because I don't find, like, have you thought about listening to me and seeing the whole picture and not just this one thing? And I feel like if I'm remembering correctly on House, that was kind of the battle they were fighting.
Exactly.
Was that it wasn't about the weight and it took a while for them to get over that aspect of it.
Yeah. Well, and also this one here, there is that scene where Bobby's like, I've tried everything.
Yeah.
So I need you to just let me die because I want to die before my kid gets here. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. And I feel... Deep. It's interesting because a lot of times when you have, like, the story that Melissa, his wife, ends up telling on how he gained all this weight was that his company laid off 300 employees and he was constantly trying to find work, and he just could not get a job. It's interesting because, in a way, it really sounds as though that scenario, like, in addition to the weight gain and the job loss, would be like a depression situation. But when you speak to this guy and you talk to him and you see his attitude and the way he carries himself, it doesn't feel that way. But to me, this was a scenario when I was like, should we maybe get someone from psych down here to talk to him and see like where he's at mentally, especially if he's at the point where he's secretly essentially asking them to just let him die. that feels like a conversation where we maybe want to involve some psychiatric help just to guide us in the right direction. Just yeah. Not saying that would be a singular solution, but that could help with the big picture, like overall. Again, not a doctor, yeah. But that's my opinion.
Well, it's also just obviously becomes a talking point throughout this episode where, like, he's got this cute wife and mm-hmm. she's just this tiny little, he calls her Peanut, and yeah. she's just this little.
I mean, cute is the perfect word. She's just so, she's like just a little tiny little, you want to put her in your pocket and carry her around. She's so cute.
Yeah. And she's, every time he makes a joke, she laughs at it. Yeah. And it's really just an adorable relationship in mm-hmm. spite of what the external perception would be.
Yeah.
And like we get also, it's very interesting because in this show, there's kind of these running gags where the doctors joke to move past like some of the sickness and things like that. Like what they called,
ceviche.
Ceviche, yes, that was the exact one I was trying to think of. Yeah. I was going to say flipper, and that was not the right one. That's also so bad. But when they're like, oh, the circus came to town, and Jackson's like, no, just the fucking elephant. And I'm like, yeah. That is funny. You just have poor timing, because Bailey was like, off the fucking case. You're gone. I mean, bye.
Can you not connect the dots why she was just lecturing you on yeah. sensitivity, and you say that? Like, obviously, you're going to get kicked off the case.
Yeah. And obviously, we need to take a quick pause for regional sponsor. So we'll be right back. And we are back. Thank you. Okay.
Here we are. Sorry. We're kind of jumping all over the place with Bobby.
But sorry.
It's a good storyline. So I think that's kind of why it yields like such a fluent conversation.
Yeah. This one really struck home for me because number one, so like I have a father and his fiance, as well as my stepmom and her husband are like not in the greatest of shapes. Jessica's parents had gone through bariatric surgery to mm-hmm. try to reverse, you know, their eating habits, their lack of mobility. You know, like I've seen, and then us also working at Disney, we've seen people who are, you know, so large that they're driving around on ECVs or they can mm-hmm. barely get on or off rides. Like I remember mm-hmm. Jessica's dad, all he wanted to do was ride Flight of Passage and he couldn't. Yeah. And now he's going to be able to. Next time we go to Disney together, he's going to be able to ride it because of yeah. his surgery. And he's been like very serious about his health and wanting to see his grandkids grow up and all that stuff. So the hard part with this storyline is Bobby's like, I've done it all and I failed.
Yeah.
You know,
I will say, I think more recently, at least the way that I'm seeing things, and I could be totally off. I think, and I don't know if there's a shift maybe on the insurance side or not. It seems to me like weight loss surgery has become more like available and more accepted, because I feel maybe a couple years ago or decades or so ago, it was like a last resort type thing.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if where the shift was, if it's on the insurance side or just like the medical side or what, but I personally know probably upwards of 10 people who have had it and they've seen just so much success with it. And I think there was like a stigma around it as like, quote unquote, not doing it or like cheating or whatever. But I don't think that's the case, because surgery is still a big deal. And the lifestyle change post bariatric mm-hmm. surgery is, mm-hmm. I mean, it's insane. Like for the rest of your life, you can only eat like very small amounts of food at a time.
And sometimes specific foods have to be completely removed from your diet.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy to see that change, because I think it's shown successful for a lot of people. And I do feel like that's not mentioned in this episode as something when he was listing all the things he tried. So I wonder if that was kind of the time frame of, we're not doing this, or insurance wasn't covering it or putting money towards it or whatnot. So I do think that's interesting that there's kind of been that shift around that weight loss option.
Yeah. Also, I think a lot of insurance companies are looking at it as, okay, well, it's actually cheaper to do the surgery than it is for the constant medical care
right.
required for some of these ailments.
Well,
all the things that were wrong with Bobby was insane.
Well, yeah, and you see that similar thing with like breast reduction surgery when people have so much like they'll have back issues or weight gain issues because it's so difficult. Like it's physically painful to work out or be physically active past a certain point. So insurance will pay for a certain amount of like breast reduction surgery. And then like I had a friend who did it and she lost like 100 pounds.
Wow.
Afterwards, because she was able to like be in a gym and be more active and just be more comfortable like standing up straight. And you know, later on down the line, those people potentially could have back issues from like a knee back surgery, which is also expensive. So again, it's kind of fucked up that that's how the healthcare system in this country works, but that's how at least the insurance is kind of coming around to being on the more preventative side rather than just being like, we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Hope you're not uncomfortable your whole life.
Yeah. Can I also just take like 30 seconds on the topic of breasts? This serious topic.
Okay.
A girl I went to high school with, I saw this post on Facebook last night or the night before. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
My age, same graduating class. And so she's 32 years old, had to have a double mastectomy and is going through chemo and radiation. And she had the post that had caught my attention because I didn't realize this was happening. And her and I were not very close. It was one of those Facebook friends that like
you just have.
We had a lot of classes together our senior year, but she had posted that she had to make the choice to shave her head because of the hair falling out. And I just want to take this moment to this is like also a lot of like heavy stuff that we're talking about tonight.
Yeah.
It is weird. So sorry if you're usually here for a more uplifting and funny stuff. I think we peaked at the jacking off transcript right
yeah,
off the bat.
Yeah, the Tuesday episode that we dropped, the bonus episode was funny. So this one, I guess we'll just be
maybe part two will be more funny. But anyways, to all you ladies out there, get yourselves checked regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, and that's another thing that where you kind of look into the patient advocacy part,
yeah.
because for a long time they were like, oh, you don't need to start getting mammograms until you're 35 or 40. But there's been a huge uptick in women between the ages of 30 and 35 being diagnosed with breast cancer and not finding it until later on because they're not getting regular mammograms. So if you want to go get a mammogram, like honestly, because it's preventative, a lot of insurances probably will cover it. You're just going to have to go seek it out rather than someone telling you to do it.
Right.
And if you get pushback, I just be like, because I want to know that I'm fine. And if you have an issue, find a different doctor. Apparently also though, most doctor practices or at least hospitals have patient advocacy departments. So you can just say, should I talk to someone from patient advocacy? And to my understanding, they'll typically go, ugh, I don't want to deal with that. So we'll just do what the person wants.
Yeah. So I just wanted to bring that to all of your guys' attention.
Yeah.
Get yourself checked. But it was a very brave post. I'm probably going
to
reach out
to
her.
And, for sure.
Yeah.
Listen to your instincts. Fight for yourself.
So Christina got kicked off the case.
Yes.
For just saying that they can't make jokes.
Saying no fat jokes.
Bailey was on
with the
one
patient, which I think maybe where the issue was.
Yeah.
Also, I will be honest. I feel as though Miranda probably would have been keeping a specific eye on Christina. And I really liked the choice the writers make to have Alex be the one that saw this case through to the end and didn't get kicked off. I really loved that. Because you would think like, oh, Christina and Alex, they'll be off like before the guy even gets in the door. And that wasn't the case. And so I really liked that choice. And I thought that Alex was the perfect person to do it, especially at the end when he finally goes to the guy and just is like, here's the deal. You're gonna fucking die. And also you're selfish for doing that.
Yeah.
So, and I really liked that choice and that scene in general.
So do you want to talk us through the lunch table scene that this is coming on the heels of? Because I want to talk about Alex and with talking to Bobby and the aftermath, but I would love for you to kind of give us a run through of the...
Hold on. We're just all over the place with this.
We are. Great. We're all over.
That's okay. First of all, they're trying to get him from one gurney to another, but they can't fit him. Well, no, sorry. They're trying to get the gurney he's on through a doorframe and it doesn't fit. So they were trying to figure out how to transfer him to a different gurney. And he's like, I got it. I'll just get up and do it. Whatever. No big deal. They say he hasn't walked in over a year. So he stands up. He takes like two steps. They have a sweet moment. She's like, this is amazing. I'm so proud of you. And he says, this reminds me of our wedding day. And then they make the most unpleasant noise of a bone breaking. Just snapping.
I thought this man's leg exploded. And it was like apparently just noise. It was just an ankle roll,
an ankle fracture is what Callie says. But it's just like the sound effect they chose to put in it is so unsettling,
jarring.
I remember it. I remember that sound effect, and I did not remember Callie saying it was an ankle fracture. So I was like, oh, well, he stands up, and then both of his legs just shatter.
That's what I was expecting.
When she goes ankle fracture, I go, I don't think that's right.
Didn't realize ankles make that noise.
I mean, it was just such an insane choice of sound to input in that moment. And yeah, I hated it.
It was for sure. It. The writers are like, let's make this really dramatic, but also not a pivotal plot point. I thought he was going to fall onto someone.
Not show how they get him back into a bed.
Yeah.
So
because that's 700 pounds.
Yeah.
They had to use a crane later on in the episode.
Yeah.
In the operating room, they use a crane to move this man, but a couple of people could get him onto the gurney.
On the ground, like fully lay. It's one thing if someone's walking and you're like helping support them walk. It's another if they're fully laying on the ground and
he's in the hallway.
Get them upright.
He's in a doorway. You can't even have the. I didn't even think about that. I had to suspend belief. Now I can't think about it.
Yeah.
I can't not think about it.
So then they go. Callie is like, this is what it is. It's an ankle or whatever. And they're trying to figure out what. That's when Lexi takes the patient history from the wife. And she does a bad job. I mean, even just in the questioning part, she's like stuttering and stammering. And she's like, when did the immobility start? I'm like, you can just say, when did the weight gain? Because she also is like, how long has he been like this? And that's when she says, 5 years ago, his company laid off 300 people, tried, and he stopped trying. It was hard on him, and food made him feel better. He's been in pain for a while. He would tell me it's indigestion, but I couldn't ignore it. And after the news, I had to call the news. Well, we're going to have a baby. I'm pregnant. And Lexi says, how? Out loud. She says it directly, looking into this woman's face. How? She says. And then she goes, I mean, wow.
All you had to say was how
news. Great. How wonderful.
Exciting. How incredible. How
And because
miraculous.
She says, what joyous news.
Poor, sweet, beautiful Lexi. And Bailey just puts her hand over her mouth and says, you're off this fucking case. Get out of here.
Get off the case, you. Also, though, when they're doing the initial intake exam before they move him, and something happens and April says facial expressions. And then later on, when Alex finds the lesions, Meredith's like, facial expression. Oh, when his wife comes in.
Yes.
She goes, I'm his wife. And everyone goes.
Yeah.
And April goes, facial expressions.
Everyone reel it in, reel it in.
And then when Alex lifts up his abdomen and finds the infection, Meredith is like, facial expression.
That was disgusting to look at.
Yeah, it was. And then again, the noise that they inserted for the lifting of the skin was like,
yeah, it was exactly like that.
I didn't love it. Yeah. It might be realistic, but I did not love it.
So it was an infection that was so bad. It was eating through the skin into his body and his colon was infected. Yeah. Everything down there was necrotic. So a lot of dead fucking tissue, a lot of dead shit.
But he's just carrying it around.
Yeah.
Like as more weight.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it was brutal.
So there's this scene where you've got Derek, Teddy, Hunt, Mark, Bailey, and Weber. And they're all talking about him and they're listing off the stuff. And then Weber was like, and on top of that, surprisingly, the man's malnourished.
Yeah.
He has a 5 times higher risk of a surgery complication than any normal person.
And he was diabetic. So there was ketoacidosis, a threat of ketoacidosis. Hold on. Let me see.
Are you trying to get those?
What's the surgical risk calculation? 5 times the risk of heart attack, respiratory failure, airway complications, diabetic. So there's a risk of ketoacidotic coma. I'm so sorry. High risk of pulmonary embolism. And believe it or not, he's malnourished, which leads to slow healing, renal failure, nerve damage, and post-op infection. And that's when Derek's like, let's just not do it. It's too risky. I'm like, my guy, this is still a human being.
And well, Weber calls him out.
Weber ends up saying, "It's like you are seeing a lawsuit instead of a patient. You need to give the patient the chance."
Yeah, and Gary Clark's got you off your game.
Yeah, and he says, "I liked Richard's analogy of he's me, but instead of alcohol, he has food. Like this is an illness, and we can't just send him home to die because he's made a poor choice."
Well, Derek like, says, "How Derek can says, I help a man?" Who
How
doesn't
care
clearly
about
want to
someone
help himself?
Who doesn't care about himself?
Yeah, that's
and
what it was.
It's just like, I hate it when people say that. I know this is still debated in the medical field. I believe addiction is a disease. And so it really frustrates me when people are like, well, just stop doing X, Y, and Z. Well, it's not that easy.
Right.
It would be that easy for you because you don't have that disease. Your body doesn't react that way when you intake those substances. But if you have an addictive personality, it can be food. It doesn't have to be alcohol. Like people will say, oh, you can't be addicted to X, Y, and Z because it's not an addictive drug. Well, no, but it's just like a brain chemistry thing. Anyways, so I was very glad that Weber framed it that way for Derek and that Derek didn't push back. And he makes him understand like, you know, it is about the Gary Clark and the chief position specifically is making the job can change your priorities. So like, don't let it. And so Derek says, you know, go ahead and do the surgery.
And it was pretty quick. There was really no pushback from Derek.
Yeah.
It's a bummer that immediately Hunt is like, hey, dude, fuck you. Right after that. Did you tell Meredith? Blah, 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 blah. She's fucking telling everybody. Okay, Hunt, calm down.
Don't love Hunt in this episode.
Yeah.
Derek, we'll get into when we get into it, because I have a lot of feelings on both ends. I'm not going to say it's a bad episode for Derek, but it's not a good one.
Derek is having a hard time.
He's having a bad day.
Yeah, so...
However. Okay, what if we... Oh, they're... taking bets. Okay, when they were taking bets on how much Bobby actually weighs, and then they're in the
this is the lunchroom scene,
the cafeteria, and they're like, how could they have possibly had sex? And they're like, well, maybe she just did all the work, like it's not a big deal. And then they hold up the french fry and the hamburger, and of course the wife is standing right there,
obviously, because timing,
because plot.
Can I also say that the hamburger and the french fry metaphor
pretty
was
on.
Objectively very funny. And Alex is like, well, I can't eat that now.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Oh, because someone said they could have done. Oh, Christina said it could have been artificial insemination. And they're like, how is he going to go to a fertility clinic? And Alex is like, how does he even find his dick? Crass and hateful.
Yeah.
And then Meredith's like, well, they could still just do just regular sex. And Alex says, how could he do that? And then Meredith says, well, maybe he doesn't have to do anything. She does everything.
And at this point, before the wife comes up, the kid comes up that Christina's babysitting. And Christina just throws fucking money at this kid. It's like, go get ice cream.
I'm 9 and you just spelled 6. So funny.
Well, I love my favorite part about that scene is Christina says, go get some ice cream. And the kid goes, well, I can't have ice cream. And then Christina's like, okay, well then get some fucking roast beef or pot roast or whatever she says. Like, I'm trying to think of the opposite of ice cream and it's pot roast. It's beef.
So true.
That was so funny. Okay, the wife comes up. Do you have any of her dialogue pulled up?
Yes, I do. Christina says, sorry. And Melissa says, it's all right. I get it. You're trying to figure out how my husband and I managed to get a baby in here. There are some logistics involved. You want me to tell you? But first, how about you tell me how you like to do it with your husband or your girlfriend? Any favorite positions or kinks? Let's talk about that because I know you must all have a freak show of your own going on. Who wants to go first? Nobody? Okay, well, it's probably none of my damn business anyways. Good for her. Good for
she
fucking her.
She is so dope. She's dope. And
she's
cute.
Like, what a precious angel gift from above this woman is, just to the world in general.
Yeah. I think it's important to, just for everyone out there, to not love shame people.
Yes. Also, they don't really say this. This is just kind of my read on it. If he didn't have her, I think he would have just died way long ago.
Yeah.
I think their relationship and the love he has for her and the love she has for him is kind of what kept him going for a long time. And he thinks that he's making the decision to die out of love for her and for their unborn child. And Alex, you know, helps him see differently. We'll get there. But I really think that their relationship is kind of overshadowed by the overall plot, but it's such a good relationship. Yeah. From what we see, obviously we're just seeing like a snapshot, but. I love the way they write their relationship. Okay, so then Richard and Miranda are explaining to him why he has to have the surgery. That's when they say the infection is eating through your skin. And he said, well, I've eaten everything else, so makes sense. And then they say, like, it's super risky. And then he says, if I don't have the surgery, how long do I have? And Richard's like, no, you need the surgery. And that's when he says, I've tried everything. And Miranda's like, you have a baby on the way. Like, don't you want to, like, think about that? And he says, I am. Like, you picture yourself throwing a ball with your kid, your daughter standing on your feet and dancing around. You don't picture them bringing you food and cleaning up after you. Like, I can't go to the bathroom by myself. Who deserves to have me as a father? I want to be gone before my kid knows who I am. Also, don't tell my wife. Just let me go home. And then she comes in, and that's when he says, oh, peanut. So cute
and fucking sad,
very sad.
It's the guy has given up, and there's a lot of shame and there's a lot of self-resentment, which is unfortunately so commonplace with people who have not only bad body self-image of their own bodies, but also people who are morbidly obese. They kind of see themselves as a burden on not just themselves but society, and quite frankly, like, fuck society for the way that they perpetuate that. Because things, and again, love Disney, but Disney is also not a large person inclusive place.
No.
You know, like these
fucking
rides, these
train.
Roller coasters.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
I don't know who they built that ride for.
But seriously.
It wasn't adults.
Yeah. So it's sad. It's a sad scene. And so we jump ahead to after the lunch, the cafeteria scene, the wife, what's her name?
Melissa.
Melissa. Melissa is signing the discharge papers with Alex, and Alex is like, I am sorry that He's apologizing for that. And she's like, I don't need you to apologize. I need you to fucking like do some shit and save my fucking husband, because now I'm gonna have to raise a kid by myself. And that's not what I want. Because
she also says, like, yeah, you can make all these jokes about him, but you didn't know him before. And who he is inside is the same person that I've always known. And he's been trying to make you guys laugh, and you're too disgusted to even smile or make him feel like a person. You're just making, she goes, I brought him here because I thought you would help him, but you're just making him feel worse. Good. Again, good for her. I love this woman. I want to be this woman.
Yeah, we all could be Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the sensitivity training. I feel like they skip the chapter where you meet the patient where they're at.
Yeah.
If the patient is making jokes, you're allowed to meet them with the jokes. You're allowed to laugh at their jokes.
Or at least acknowledge it.
Right. Everyone has just been like a fucking corpse every time this guy makes a joke. And he's had some good zingers. And then Alex goes into the room after that, and he said something about, like, they're wheeling me out of here. A forklift, yeah. And he said, I think we'll just roll you out of here like a burrito or some shit. Like, whatever he says. Whatever he says. And then Alex, this got dark real quick. He's like, oh, did you hear about the one about the guy who is too much of a piece of shit and too selfish to actually save his own life because he was a fat man? And the guy's like, yo, dude, that's not funny.
No, he goes, that's a good one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. But here's what I don't understand about these next couple of scenes. Let's pause here, though, because there's something that I want to talk about after this. But is there anything else you want to talk about in this scene?
Yeah. What Alex says.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, read that off. I do have that quote
again, too. You're leaving a 700-pound mess for your wife to clean up, which, again, kind of going back a couple episodes to the woman who was doing physician-assisted suicide, when she elects to do it at the hospital so her husband doesn't have to deal with it. Bobby electing to go home and die is, again, you're not thinking of, like, think about how much work it was just to get you to the hospital. Like, if you die at home, it's going to be that much harder and that much more for your pregnant or, like, new, like, recently given birth wife to deal with. So that's not, it's just a good point that Alex makes.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm sorry we've been tiptoeing around you all day, trying not to make jokes, but you're the one who has to stop. Stop calling yourself the fat guy. You got a wife who loves you, you know, who stuck by you through all of this. You did something right to deserve that. I know what it's like to have life hand you so much crap you just want to sit on the couch and die. But you've got to look at what's in front of you. You can't walk out on her now. She deserves better. Chances are you're going to die on the table, and then you get what you want, but at least your wife will think you tried, and she'll tell your kid that you tried, so give them that.
Alex brings it all into perspective. And at the end of that
Alex episode,
such a great Alex. And we're coming off the heels of, again, another good Alex episode. But when he's like, dude, you have a chance to literally have your cake and eat it too. If you die on the table, you get what you want. If you live, you get a life. You can create this, but you have to do the work. And it's what legacy are you leaving for Melissa and your unborn child?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that he brings it back to that legacy piece of, like, you could at least show that you've tried. The thing that I don't understand, I'm skipping over the surgery a bit because he lives past the surgery, but the surgery clearly has a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
When he gets out, he looks at Alex and is like, what does he say? He says something about, like, I made it past the surgery. Now I need to lose the weight. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess I have no choice then, right? And he looks directly at Alex, and Alex smiles, then looks at the wife, and the wife glares at him.
Right, because she doesn't know that
she doesn't know. She seems to be a smart person. Why did she not put that together? Of like, oh, Alex did go do the right thing. And I hope that
she's probably still mad, but.
Well, yeah, she's still mad, obviously.
At the end of the day, he did, in fact, save her husband's life. But I do want to, just talking about their relationship piece, call attention to the fact that Alex specifically says she stuck by you through all of this. And she still loves you the same. And I think there are a lot of people, the whole, like, in sickness and in health, they have lines of what that actually means. And you see a lot of people, a lot of relationships not last through medical issues, unfortunately. And the fact that she does stay by his side and get him the help that he needs, like, again, speaks to her character and their relationship. And like their relationship is clearly like built on a very solid foundation.
Absolutely. It's beautiful.
So, yes, he lives, and they say you're not out of the woods. You're going to have to make a lot of lifestyle changes. We're going to have to watch you super close. And he goes, yeah, I need to lose the weight. So
the surgery also is kind of intense. They bring everyone who was kicked off the case back in.
Yeah. And they show things that I didn't want to see.
They're
like,
holding
just like the pus aspect really gets to me on a lot.
That was
stuff.
That was why that was some thick old pus.
So, so unfortunate.
And
I did not care for it.
And so it turned out that the colon was completely infected and completely fucked up. But Charles kind of has this interesting moment where he's like, yeah, they brought it. They needed the big guys. And then Reed is right next to him doing the same exact job. And I'm like, they clearly didn't just need big dudes. They just needed humans. Yeah. That was kind of funny. But what I don't understand, did you notice that Bailey and Weber were in the surgery but hadn't scrubbed in?
Well,
and then once the pus got cut, then he's like, I need you guys to scrub in right now and come help.
When they're pitching it originally to Derek, and they say, like, it's going to be Owen, Sloan, and Teddy. And they're saying, like, these are the things we're going to do. And Weber and Bailey are going to be in there waiting in case things go south. So I think that's why they were. And so having them in there, but not like, because what the other people are doing is also important. So if they have them in there and they're like holding retractors and they're like, no, we need you to come over here. Well, they still need people holding the retractors.
No, I get that. I guess my thing that I wasn't understanding is why were they in the surgery room, but not already scrubbed in?
There's a lot of people that do that.
Why?
Because there's a sterile field. And as long as you're not in the sterile field, you don't have to be fully scrubbed.
But imagine all the things that could go wrong between Hunt saying, I need you to scrub in, and the time that they're actually scrubbed in and back in the room. Why don't they just be scrubbed
this
in so they're ready to go?
This literally happens multiple times in this show.
I know, but I hate it.
That's fine. But this isn't the first time.
Well,
anything else
it.
On the Bobby and Melissa story?
I am rooting for them. And
same.
I hope that we meet their unborn child in season 19 or 20.
So what would be another good first name for a baby Corso?
Bobby Corso. Bonnie Corso. Bobby, Bonnie, and Melissa.
Oliver. Ollie Corso.
Ollie Corso. Ooh, strong name. Jar Jar Binks Corso.
Tallulah Corso.
Occipital
lobe Corso.
Gary Clark.
We're gonna
Corso.
Wrap this one up, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Maybe we'll be less insanely intense. But we will be starting the next one with everyone's favorite segment.